CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Jimmy Jewelry.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretched.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
I mean, what more could you ask for? A meaningful Week 18 game against the Jets. Let's sneak into the playoffs. Who gives a bleep? Don't tell me what's going to happen if they sneak into the playoffs and it's not even Tua. I don't give a bleep. Let's sneak into the postseason. Let's wallow when we were 2-6. And let's now have hope after a 6-2 run that they sneak into the playoffs. If you're here to talk about how Tua, he wasn't available, might not be available next Sunday. If you're here to talk about, oh, if this team does sneak into the playoffs, can you imagine what's going to happen? If you're here for that, get out of here. Because this ain't the show for you. We're going to celebrate the Dolphins. They won. We finally found our backup quarterback, Tyler Huntley. I've been saying it all season. And now we'll ride him. Snoop Huntley. We'll ride him to the promised land. Yesterday was officially Tyler Day for South Florida. Tyler Huntley, Tyler Hero.
Yeah. The two Tylers.
Yesterday,
baby,
was officially Tyler Day. Two badasses, two people who handled their business. Tyler Huntley, no joke, handled his business. And Tyler Hero handled his business.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If you thought, oh, because he got slammed to the ground. Listen, guys lock up all the time. He wasn't expecting someone to slam him to the ground. I would take Tyler Hero in that fight all day, any day. And I would take the Heat backing up Tyler Hero in that fight all day, any day, over any team in the league. Udonis would come out of retirement to go up against Houston again. So we'll celebrate a couple of Tylers today because it is warranted. It's our final show of 2024. Crowder, by the way, is in Jamaica. He will be here tomorrow. He'll have his final show tomorrow. Josh Appel will be filling in. I'll be off. But today, on my final show of 2024, I'm looking ahead towards a Dolphins miracle playoff run. Only two things need to happen. One of them, here's the thing. Two of them might be very difficult because you know what's going to happen? I think the Jets are going to end up starting Tyrod Taylor because Aaron Rodgers stunk. And then Tyrod comes in, he throws two tutties, and it's the end of the season. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play at this point. He's just getting embarrassed out there. I mean, he's literally getting embarrassed out there. So the Jets will start Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if you've been paying attention to football for the last 10 years. Tyrod Taylor is a Dolphins killer.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think Kansas City wins on Sunday.
Do you really?
That's right. But Tyrod Taylor beats the Dolphins. No, I'm just teasing. But I don't think it's as – listen, it's a tough road because Denver happens to be good. And they've got everything in the world to play for. Kansas City has nothing to play for. They just want to get out of there. So, you know, it's tough. But I am intrigued by the Jets potentially starting Tyrod Taylor over Aaron Rodgers. I haven't heard or read anything about that, but that's just what popped into my head yesterday when Aaron Rodgers was out in the fourth quarter and Tyrod, they were getting shut out 40-0. And then Tyrod comes in, throws two tutties. And I'm like, why would you even bother with Aaron Rodgers in the last week?
I would be more upset about that just from the single standpoint of, okay, Denver does end up beating the Chiefs at home, fine, right? Like, they're playing for everything at home. It is what it is.
They almost beat Cincinnati. Right. Like, you could take it.
At least give me the Aaron Rodgers embarrassment at the hands of the Miami Dolphins to end the season.
I mean, I'd like to put up a 40-0 win at the end of the season for fun.
Give me that.
For bleeps and giggles.
Please.
Anyway, what an interesting scenario. So the final AFC playoff spot is one of three teams. The Broncos, the Dolphins, or the Bengals. The Dolphins, they need to win against the Jets on Sunday, and they need the Broncos to lose. The Broncos, to get into the playoffs, need to win or they lose and Cincinnati loses.
And the Dolphins lose.
And the Dolphins. And the Bengals, they need to win. They need the Dolphins
to lose.
To lose.
And the Broncos to lose.
So they have a real tough shot.
You good? You seem like you're surprised by that. Like the Dolphins.
It's just there's a lot going on. Because it says for the Broncos, just they win and they're in.
They win and they're in, or the Dolphins and the Bengals lose. And it doesn't matter what happens with them, but they win, they're in. The Bengals, because the Dolphins won, the Dolphins jumped the Bengals. So their only chance now, it's funny, we were all massive Bengals fans on Saturday evening. Like, the Broncos could have ran the clock out, tied the game, and
unbelievably stupid finish.
And both the Dolphins and the Bengals are eliminated with a tie. They're in, and it doesn't matter what happens in Week 18. Instead, they let the Bengals go back this Joe Burrow hawk. I mean, if you like, I'll delete all the tape about you saying that Tua's better than him, and that's not an indictment on Tua. The guy might be the second-best quarterback in the NFL.
I've got Tua.
Okay. Either way, I don't want to do that show. I mean,
you think one day we will ask the question, is Tyler Huntley the best quarterback in Dolphins history?
Snoop or Marino? You want to do that? I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell you what, nobody's had a higher rated season at quarterback under center for the Miami Dolphins than Tyler Huntley did yesterday, according to Pro Football Focus.
I mean, the guy was great. He was great.
It was fun, though.
It was fun as hell.
It was. I mean, it. Thankfully, the Browns are the worst team to ever play football. I mean, that helps.
It's shocking. Some of the football that we've seen this week, and I'm imagining we'll see next weekend, like watching the Bears on Thursday night, watching the Browns, it literally seemed as if they just didn't know what to do at times. And, of course, that benefited the Dolphins.
I watched the Cardinals and the Rams. That game, dreadful. Rams needed to win to make sure that they can get into the playoffs. Cardinals trying to keep their season alive. It was unlikely regardless, but trying to keep their season alive. And the Seahawks needed the Cardinals to win that game. Like, that needed to happen for them to still have a chance to make the playoffs. Did you see how that game ended for Arizona? They're down 13-9. They're driving under a minute to go. Kyler gets them all the way down into the red zone. He throws a pass towards, I believe it was his tight end. It hits the tight end's head. He could have just caught it and ran into the end zone. It hits the top of his helmet, and it's intercepted in like the wildest catch you'll see by a DB this season, and their season comes to an end. I mean, it can be worse, Hawk. You know, that the roller coaster ride we've seen, it can be worse.
By the way, there's a whole hell of a lot of teams on Sunday who and Saturday who just have nothing to play for.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, they're running win sprints. Dolphins have a meaningful Week 18.
Yeah.
What were sports fans for?
I'm with you. As critical as anybody could be about the Dolphins, I think you
have to sneak into the playoffs. What's the difference? Let's sneak in. Give me another game.
Yeah. I'm down. I mean, it'll be Buffalo on the road. I don't know if you
want to do all the injury stuff. Listen, that's fine. It's fair game. But I'll tell you where I stand right now on December 30th. I'm hoping the Dolphins get to the postseason.
Hell yeah.
I'm not doing the whole, oh, they're going to get their asses kicked. I don't want to sit through that again. I've sat through that before. Okay, don't watch then. Let them get to the postseason. You don't
want. Bro, to go 2-6 and to win 6 of your next 8 games, that's got to be applauded. I don't care what your feelings are, Mike McDaniel, Chris Greer, Tua Tagovailoa, like, put that aside for a second. 2-6 and you win from week 10 6 games of your next 8. You go 6-2 and a miserable season, at the very least, has meaning going into the final week. Put your resentment for McDaniel, Greer aside, whoever you are. Like, I'm the first one to do it, and I'm telling you, I'll respect this turnaround this season, even if I still think that if they make the playoffs, they get absolutely rocked by Buffalo. Whatever.
I mean, I'm ready to run it back.
Run it back.
You know where I stand. Run it back.
And Snoop Huntley, your backup quarterback, like, he sold you yesterday. He's your backup next year.
I can't even tell you that he wouldn't win a true competition against Tua. Now that Teddy Bridgewater's off the market. And then the Hurricanes. Hurricanes lost in a shootout in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. We're going to talk with John Michaels today. John Michaels is going to join us. Mike Cugno is going to join us. College Football Report tweeted, Miami now falls to 1-12 in bowl games since 2008. It's a shocking stat. That's the worst postseason record in college football in that span.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
Insane.
And I don't know. Listen, I'm a Canes fan, obviously, and it was a magical season. It came apart at the end. And it kind of seems appropriate that it ended with a loss in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Like, I don't think I could come up with a better ending to this season where they didn't make the postseason. And I don't know. It really came off the rails at the end. I love a shootout like we watched. But holy hell, the Hurricanes can't play defense. I mean, they just... they cannot play defense. So we'll talk about that.
They gave up 415 yards and allowed 40-plus points third time in the final 7 games of the season. That defense.
Wild.
Hawk, I don't know how you're not just livid with Lance Guidry's defense, because...
I mean, people wanted him gone by that night. Yeah. By that night.
It should have been after Syracuse.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was obviously their weak point all season long. And we kept saying, well, as long as Cam Ward is there and Xavier Restrepo's there, they can put up points. And they were able to put up points. But, man, that Syracuse game, 21-point lead, like, unforgivable, really.
Are you cool with Cam only playing a half? That was a big thing Saturday night.
You know, listen, I was surprised that he played in the game. My guess is this was all pre-planned. I'm more annoyed by Mario Cristobal making it this state secret after the game where that's private. Like, what? Why you do that, Mario? Like, why not say, hey, we were thrilled to have him out there for a half. As you know, a lot of guys, including Xavier Restrepo, opt out and many bowl games, you know, are sans stars, and we were thrilled that Cam wanted to finish off the season. But he makes it like this, you know, this whole state mystery. I would find it very hard to believe that Cam Ward opted out at halftime the way some people are suggesting.
Crazy.
That he went to Mario at halftime and said, I'm done. That would shock me. Now, if that's the case, maybe then I give a little leeway to, okay, well, what is that all about? Like, what are you doing there? But my guess is it was pretty well planned. I actually feel like he ended up playing more than he originally had intended to play. My guess is he thought he'd play around a quarter. The game was back and forth. He was having fun putting up points, and he was probably like, yeah, keep me out there. I want to set the record. Sets the record, and, you know, so I don't have too much of a problem with it.
Yes or no, that first drive, that first possession for Miami, it ends in the fumble, just like a botched snap. At that point, I'm thinking to myself, take this guy out, because that is a bad start to a game. And I was like
what are you going to do? Right. So he comes out of there. He's smelling like a rose. Like he did great. You know, if you think that it's some sort of knock against him that he didn't play in the second half, I would suggest to you that it will not affect his draft stock at all.
Yeah,
that was well planned. Let's do headlines, because I do want to talk Canes. John Michaels is going to join us. Headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Dolphins get it done yesterday. We'll talk more about the win, but Tua Tagovailoa having to miss the game.
He was excellent. He was excellent.
He was awesome on the side. You liked him on the sidelines yesterday?
Yeah, didn't you see? He was coaching up Snoop, and he was a part of it. Yeah. I'm just a big fan of Tua.
Tobin was making fun of his sweatsuit yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. Very Belichick-esque. Yeah.
It was kind of beige-ish, wasn't it?
It was. It just looked like a stock Dolphins jumpsuit, but he had cut the sleeves off. It looked like he bought it on Temu. It really did.
Interesting.
Yeah. But either way, he was jacked the hell up on the sideline. That was cool.
Somebody texts in, do we have any action on the Music City Bowl in 10 minutes? Listen, I could be persuaded. What channel is that on?
Hold Music on. City Bowl, huh? Iowa, Mizzou?
ESPN. All right, here we go. Iowa, Missouri. They both have football teams?
Do they? They play in NCAA?
I'm going to do my handicapping. All right. What do you got? What do you got? A Hawkeye and a
tiger.
A zoo. The Miz Zoo. My nephew went there.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Where is that?
I never asked him.
Text him.
Okay.
All right. See what he says. Must be in, like, Central Park, right? That's one of the more famous zoos.
What do you think? Mizzou's a one-point favorite over Iowa.
Huh.
I'm just going to go game to overtime, plus 1,000.
Boom. Put it in.
I must have gone 0-15 this weekend. I had two wins, both of them cash outs. Those are my only two wins. I cashed out. I had,
Coward.
I bet the Browns. Team total over 14.5. And early on, it was very apparent that 14.5 was way too many. And it was a $40 bet or a $35 bet. And they offered me $25 for it. And I took it, sold it like that. And then I bet Snoop Huntley under 25.5 yards rushing. Going into the fourth quarter, he had 24. It was a $40 bet. Hard Rock Bet App inexplicably offers me a buyout of the $40,
wow.
The actual bet.
Wow.
Because it looked like they might not be in a scenario where he would have to scramble, and they were going to win, so he probably was going to kneel a few times if they had the ball at the end of the game. So Hard Rock Bet was like, okay, we'll see. Does this tempt anybody? Because we may end up paying out on this under, and I grabbed it. The moment it popped up, I grabbed it, and then Snoop Huntley, I don't know what he ended with. It probably ended with over 40 yards because he scrambled a couple times in the fourth quarter for long gains.
7 carries, 52 yards, and the touchdown.
Yeah.
That was a revenge game for Snoop yesterday, man. Remember, he was on the Browns practice squad to start the season. They waived him before he, I think he went to Baltimore, then he came back to Miami. Revenge game for him. And it is crazy. Hawk, what a crazy concept. Your backup quarterback's in the game. Maybe throw to the fastest guy in the NFL. What a crazy concept.
I mean, they looked like a normal team.
Right, right.
That was missing their quarterback, which is all we wanted during the four games that Tua missed earlier in the season. Just look like a normal team. Now, maybe they looked like a normal team because they were playing the Browns. I don't know.
Yeah, but they looked miserable against the Patriots, against the Colts. They looked miserable against the Titans and Mason Rudolph.
They looked miserable in all four games. They won the one against New England, but
they did look
terrible in all four. And all I wanted them to do was look like a normal team. That's what they looked like yesterday.
They just threw the ball to the guy wearing number 10 a couple times. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, yeah, you can move the football. What a crazy concept by Mike McDaniel. Get it to your best player. Well, regarding Tua Tagovailoa.
I love this text. Y'all can't be dead ass about Missouri. Is that where it is? Huh.
So it's on the West Coast. Interesting.
I guess so.
Yeah. Mike McDaniel regarding Tua Tagovailoa. I have the audio for you, but Hawk, if you want to sit through these 2-minute long clips from Mike McDaniel rambling.
See if I work up my endurance later on in the show. Yeah. I got to set like a base.
Just giving you a heads up because it's, yeah. I tried to edit down. Like I really tried.
Did he have his Monday press conference yet?
No, he has not. Unless it just started right now, but I haven't seen anything from.
Was it supposed to be a 2:15 presser? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Literally just got to the podium right now. Live at the podium 2 minutes ago.
All right.
See if I get any updates from you. But this is what he said yesterday regarding Tua Tagovailoa. He said it's not related to the hip injury he had at Alabama before he came to the NFL. And he also said that surgery, quote, not currently on the table, but he doesn't know if Tua's going to end up playing on Sunday. It wasn't a pain tolerance thing, he said, but it was just that Tua wanted to play, but they couldn't be sure that he wasn't susceptible to further injury, right? Like risking further injuring that hip. So they decided he just couldn't play. It's not a good sign, you would agree. It's not the best sign.
No, it's not a great sign, and it kind of seemingly came out of nowhere.
Yeah, because Tua all week was like, I'm going to play. I'm good. Everything's good.
And then all of a sudden, he's doubtful on Saturday.
Saturday, he's doubtful. Yeah. And I don't care, you know, that it's not the same injury that it's not related to the hip injury he had at Alabama. Bro, it's the same hip. I'm sorry, man. That scares the bleep out of me. It just does.
Yeah, and I find it hard to believe that it doesn't have anything to do with the college injury. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how often do you get a hip injury?
Yeah. You'll find out soon. You're getting up there, man. Hate to break it to you.
We'll talk about hips and breaking.
So Dolphins, Jets, 4:25 on Sunday. Man, Aaron Rodgers looks so bad. I mean, he's going out sad, Hawk. He is going out sad.
It's embarrassing. He's got to be embarrassed. And I know he'll never say that he is, and he'll play it off on McAfee's show. And he has to be embarrassed because he imploded a team. That team was already bad. He imploded what a lot of people thought was a really good team.
Yeah. The Heat won yesterday. We'll talk more about the fight. And Panthers play the Rangers tonight. They've been outscored 8-0 in their last two, so they got to step it up. Let's go, Cats. Come on. Kick the Rangers' ass. F this Shesterkin.
Yeah. The hell with Ira Winderman. Guy loves his Rangers.
Worst.
Anybody need a parking pass for tonight? Anybody going to the Panthers game need a parking pass? I've got an extra one.
I'll take it.
You need it?
Yeah, I'm not going to the game, but I'll resell it.
Well, I'd like to give it to a listener, maybe, who's going to the game.
Well, give it to me. I'll sell it to them.
Text or tweet me.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. That's very nice of you, Hawk. Your accident attorney.
It got sent to me by accident for another game I was going to. And I said, hey, do you want this back? Like, that's a good parking pass. And they said, nah, keep it.
So you're not going to the game?
I'm not going to the game. This is too tough a ticket. I can't get one.
Yeah. You got a parking pass, though.
I have a parking pass.
YourAccidentAttorneys.com, free consultations 24/7. Maybe try to trade somebody a ticket for your parking pass. You never know.
I could use tickets for Thursday if anybody wants to give them to me. My son wants them. Never ask me for tickets. Can't get them.
Partly cloudy.
Sure, I can buy them, but I mean, I'm Mark Hockman.
Big man. Partly cloudy. Supposed to get a little colder later on this week, but tonight the lows will be in the 70s. Hawk, that is your weather.
All right, John Michaels is going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
John Michaels is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. John Michaels hosts mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. We would not be able to wrap up a Hurricanes football season without talking to the most passionate fan, most passionate Canes fan in radio. And that is indeed John Michaels. So it seems fitting. I said this to Solana. It almost seems fitting that a season with so much promise, a season that gave us, you know, a consistent top 10 team and miracle finishes and a Heisman caliber QB and a record-setting receiver, but then it ended with disaster, especially against Syracuse. It kind of feels fitting that it ends for good in a loss at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So what can you say about the season, John?
You kind of encapsulated a lot of what I thought about this season. You know, you think about all the promise, the start of the year, blowing out Florida, making them your little brother. You get a couple of really fun late night wins where you and I were texting back and forth against Virginia Tech and Cal. You're sitting at 9-0, you've dominated Florida State, and you literally look at the schedule and go, we've got to win two of our last three games and we're going to the college football playoffs. Georgia Tech ended up with six losses on the year. Syracuse was probably better than we thought they were. They finished up at 10-3, but you lose both of those games. And when you say fitting ending, I'm sitting in New Orleans with my brother-in-law, and we're out on his back deck and we're watching the game. And about the time Mario Cristobal decides on 4th-and-2 to kick a field goal to go up six, I looked at him and I said, Miami loses this game 42-41. I said, we won't score again. Iowa State's going to go down and score, and it's going to be the way the season comes to an end. He goes, no, defense is playing better. I said, trust me. I've seen this story play out before in Syracuse, New York about 3 weeks ago, and it's exactly what happened. Unfortunately, it takes what was a great, for the most part, regular season. 10 wins for only the second time since 2003. You know, you had the Heisman contender. You had the best offense your school has ever had. It makes you go into an offseason and go, last year kind of sucked. Because think about all the goals that a school would put forth. Beat Florida. Check. You did that. Beat Florida State. Check. Go to the ACC title game. You failed there. Win the ACC. You failed there. Make it to the playoffs. You didn't reach that goal. And win a national title. So your biggest goals you all fell short on. And this was the most talented team you've had in 20 years. So it feels like a disappointment. There's part of it to me that feels like it was an absolute failure. And I hate it because for the most part, this was one of the most fun years we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm totally torn by the season as well, because I got more enjoyment out of this season than I have in a long time. That Cal game will be a memory for a long time. Like, I really enjoyed most aspects of the season, but you're right. I mean, and they didn't even win a bowl game. Like, there's a very real possibility that the roster they had this season is the best roster we'll see for another 10 seasons. Like, I'm having a difficult time getting to the place of, oh, next season they'll be even better, because what are the chances you're going to get a Cam Ward constantly?
Yeah, I'd take a Tyler Van Dyke at this point, because what I saw out of Emery Williams, and I hate to bang on a kid that hasn't played a whole bunch, but he doesn't look like an ACC quarterback. I mean, Shannon Dawson pared down the offense in the second half where it was run, 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 we'll throw a bubble screen. And the few times they did ask him to throw, he looked skittish in the pocket. He doesn't have a great delivery. The ball's not coming out on time. Like, there's a lot of things there. And I know we'll talk about this, but this where it's, you got to find out what's in the portal. then it's not just quarterback. You lose your top three receivers. Unbelievable receiving core. I'd assume Damian Martinez at some point is going to go to the NFL draft. So you lose him. You know, you lose a tight end, Elijah Arroyo, who looks like the previous Miami great tight end, who's going to go on to the NFL and probably give you 70 catches next year in his rookie campaign. Like, you lose a lot off this football team, and that's what makes this year so tough to swallow.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You talk about seeing Emery in the second half. Did you have a problem, because this became a bit of a story, Cam Ward, did you have a problem with him playing the first half, not the second half?
Not one bit. You know, what did Cam Ward owe us? As fans, and I could give two craps what the idiots in the national media have to say, and I'm one of the idiots in the national media on ESPN, but I saw people with all of this outrage. He's a quitter. Danny Cannell called him a quitter. Like, come on, dude. The guy came in, he broke a record, and he finished the year. I'm sure Mario Cristobal knew, and I've heard from many different sources inside the program, that the plan all along was for Cam Ward only to play a half, and that was only going to be it. It's not like he walked into halftime and said, Mario, I'm out. I'm done. I'm finished. You know, I saw the other part of the ridiculous narrative that they asked him to go back in with a minute to play and he refused. First and foremost, anybody that's ever played a sport in their life, when you shut it down and you sit for a half, you don't just run back out there and go, coach, I got this, without warming up or getting loose or anything like that. So that was such a fallacy to think that he was ever going to run back in the game. That wasn't going to happen the second he took his helmet off. But no, I don't have a problem. That kid gave us the best year we've had since Ken Dorsey was a quarterback. I was 25 and skinny the last time Miami had a quarterback that gave you play like Cam Ward. And let's be real, he was twice the quarterback Ken Dorsey was, and that's not a knock on Ken. Truthfully, he shouldn't have played in the game at all, but he did, maybe for a little bit of reasons to break the NCAA record, but he also wanted to go out there with his boys one more time. Nobody gave Xavier Restrepo any crap for sitting out, you know what, because that's his choice. Nobody gave, you know, Isaiah Horton crap for transferring because that's his choice, yet the national media wants to bang on the best quarterback in the country because he played a half. Should he have gone out there and half-assed it like Colorado did in their bowl game where they got their teeth kicked in with both their Heisman contenders? It's like, you know what, the kid did everything he can, and I can't wait till he goes to the NFL as the first pick of the draft and ends up being a superstar in the pro game as well.
Well said. Well said. That's kind of exactly my thoughts on that. Solana and I salute you on that take. Give a letter grade to Mario Cristobal after three seasons.
It's so tough. Trajectory is going the right way. When you go from 5 wins to 7, 7 to 10, and you've added talent, I can't give it any higher than a B, though. And I think I'm even being generous. I'm probably leaning more B minus. You had horrible losses the first year. Those are unforgivable, getting blown out by Middle Tennessee and being uncompetitive in a lot of other games. You still have coaching questions that I just don't get. And I had to watch this weekend. Again, didn't you learn at Syracuse with 3.5 minutes to go when you decided to kick a field goal and not give the ball to Cam Ward that your defense can't get the stops you need? Why would you kick a field goal when you have 4th and goal from the 2-yard line? I don't care if Sparky the dog was out there playing quarterback. You got to give an opportunity to score. You go up 10, that game's over. You're not losing the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and then nobody has questions about you. So the coaching acumen for me still becomes a problem, but the talent acquisition has been great. He's put together the best roster we've had in a long time. So, probably B minus B for Mario. It could be better if we actually start winning some games that we're supposed to win.
But you're down with it. Like, you're cool with him. He's paid dividends on, I mean, recruiting at least, but he's paid dividends on the massive contract and the massive resources he's been given.
For the most part, like I said, there are things I'm always going to question. I was talking to some people and I said, I think I've become more of a cynic doing sports radio because I don't look at things as much through the rosy glasses as most fans do anymore. I look at it through, damn, we're here, but you know, we're still not really there. Year 4 is going to tell me a lot. I think he has to make a change at defensive coordinator. I don't think there's any way you can trot Lance Guidry back out there for another year. He's got to figure out what he's going to do at quarterback because I don't think the quarterback is on the roster today. Although I really like Luke Nickel. I got to see him play in person. Our other son, Julian, played against him in high school this year. The kid's the real deal. But are you trusting a freshman to be your starting quarterback coming up next year? But you've got to start having dividends more than just,
all right, you had a nice 10-win season. You've got to make an ACC title game. You've got to win an ACC. And as this playoff expands, there's no reason that SMU was in the playoffs and the Miami Hurricanes weren't. But no, for the most part, I'm down with Mario. He's going to be the guy for 3 or 4 more years minimum, and I think he's going to make it all the way through his contract 7 more years.
Is it behind schedule, though? Because by now, by year 3, I feel like you should have played in an ACC. You should have won an ACC championship by year 3, yeah. Right? And you had the talent to do so, I think, this season. So now it's kind of falling behind schedule.
Yeah, this was the year. You put all the eggs in the basket of year 3. He had even said kind of openly, this was going to be the year. You had a mediocre ACC schedule. I mean, you didn't play SMU. You didn't play Clemson. You know, the toughest game you played was against Syracuse at the end of the year. You had no reason to be out of the ACC title game, at least. And with it expanding to 12, there was no reason you were out of the 12-team playoff. I thought we got jobbed a little bit. We should have never been behind Alabama. But it wouldn't have mattered anyway. When Clemson stole the auto bid, Miami wasn't getting in no matter where they were going to be ranked. So, yeah, it's a hair behind schedule, and that's where year 4 becomes huge pressure. You got to make the ACC title game next year. I don't give a damn who your quarterback is. You got to win an ACC championship. I don't care who the quarterback is. It's time for the rubber to hit the road and Miami to be back in the college football playoffs or actually get there for the first time ever.
Hey, John, who should we be rooting for in the college football playoff, by the way? Like, do you have any rooting interest, or is it just as simple as anybody but Ohio State and Georgia?
You know, because I work in Atlanta, I don't care if Georgia wins. Like, it makes it better for our job if they play longer. For me, it really is anybody but Ohio State or Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame, I want to see them in the Sugar Bowl in 2 days, get their ever-loving teeth kicked in, and Al Golden go limp his chubby butt off the sideline with all the props that he wanted to get this year. I don't know that I have a rooting interest. You know, I normally, you know, maybe Oregon, although their fans hate that we took Mario Cristobal. I like to see Solana teams that have never won it before actually win. So I guess if I was going for anybody, it would be Oregon, but I don't think they're going to get out of the bracket of death between playing Ohio State and potentially Texas and maybe Georgia in a championship game. I don't think they're going to make it, but I guess if there was anybody I'd root for, it'd probably be the Ducks.
How about the Dolphins, John, with Snoop Huntley? They have a chance next Sunday. I mean, they need Kansas City, a second and third string Kansas City Chiefs roster, to beat a good Broncos roster who has everything to play for. And the Dolphins also need to take care of business against the Jets. But I was saying at the beginning of the show, like, I don't mind sneaking into the playoffs. I don't subscribe to the thought of, oh, well, once you get there, you're going to get your asses kicked. I've seen it before. I don't want to see it again. Sneak me into the postseason. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'd 100 times rather watch us play on wild card weekend than be sitting at home thinking, you know, coming up with draft prep and free agent prep. And to overcome, honestly, what the Dolphins have overcome to even have a chance, it's sort of, remarkable to think of. You miss Tua for all those games. Tyreek Hill is giving you next to nothing. Jalen Waddle's in and out of the lineup. You know, Jalen Phillips tears up his knee this year, so you end up losing him. Bradley Chubb never plays a snap. I mean, this team is overcome a lot to even be in position, but let's be real. Kansas City does not want the Cincinnati Bengals getting in the postseason. Cincy would have to win, I believe, and have Denver lose to potentially slide their way into the playoffs. They want no parts of that. So I think Kansas City's going to lay down, let the Broncos go ahead and get in. Unfortunately, the Dolphins will probably finish 9-8 and, you know, sit back and wonder what could have been had Tua been healthy the whole year. Hey, at least you didn't have to watch Raheem Morris yesterday with 30 seconds on the clock and a chance to go to the playoffs. Forget that he has 2 timeouts. He held on to 3 timeouts at the end of the first half and 2 at the end of the game, as if he could walk to Gulfstream Park and turn those in and use them to bet on a 3-5 trifecta at the end. What a ding dog. I mean, good Lord. How are these coaches so smart and so rich?
We've seen a ton of that this year in college and pro football. We've seen a ton of bad coaching decisions.
There needs to be, like, I volunteer. If Cristobal wants a timeout guy or when to kick and when to go for it guy, just match my salary that I make in radio and I will come work. I'll come put in 30 hours a day and do all the analytics.
It seems like there should be some sort of proficiency test. Like, you can't take the head coaching job. Like, I'll give you scenario A, B, and C. And if you make that, like, these are super easy scenarios. I marvel at Matt Eberflus. It was, what was it, the Thanksgiving Day game?
It was. Thanksgiving Day.
Where they had 30 seconds left, and they just, it was like they were counting the clock down for New Year's Eve. They were just watching it go down to zero. Like, yeah, there has to be some sort of proficiency test.
You know, when I had a job at a call center, I think I had to take a proficiency test to be able to hang up and answer the phone. To like the simple task of calling a timeout, time and situation. Raheem Morris after the game, I was up to like 2 a.m. steaming mad because they've blown a playoff as only the Falcons can do. He literally goes, yeah, we maybe should have done that differently, and I thought our operation would be a little bit faster. Well, after about 5 seconds of rundown, you call the timeout. The operation isn't going fast enough. You have the power, like Quantum Leap, to stop time, and you just stood there chewing your gum, looking at the damn Jumbotron like you were in Section 309. It's infuriating.
Where are you celebrating New Year's Eve, John? The varsity?
No, I'm actually in New Orleans. I've been in New Orleans since the day after Christmas. So we're in New Orleans. We're about to head down to Bourbon Street. I've got to get me a like 5-pound shrimp po' boy for lunch. I'm going to fatten myself up nicely. And then tomorrow it's a whole bunch. I've got a gallon of Tito's and a 12-pack of sugar-free Red Bull. I'm going to see how much of that I can get down because I got to get up New Year's Day and drive back to Atlanta, which is about an 8-hour drive with cats and dogs and kids and everything else, because I got to get back and watch some college football playoffs. So I figure the drinks will put me to sleep. The Red Bull will wake me back up, and it'll be a fun New Year's.
All right. Be safe in New Orleans, John.
Will do. Love you guys.
Love you too. There's John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta, celebrating the New Year in New Orleans.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.